Coming up today on David versus Goliath.
I've been doing it for 35 years because when I got out of college, I've done nothing but this.
The toe dipper. I don't know how to eat, but I'm going to make it happen. You've destroyed yourself.
Yeah.
Welcome to today's episode of David versus Goliath, a podcast dedicated to helping small businesses leverage technology to not only help them compete against their large competitors, but win. Your host is currently the CEO of Anthem Business Software, a three-time Inc. 500 recipient and a serial entrepreneur with a passion to help small businesses everywhere find, serve, and keep more customers profitably. Please join me in welcoming your host, Adam DeGrade.
Hey everyone, it's Adam DeGrade with another amazing edition of the David versus Goliath podcast. We have Julie Lawton coming up today. She builds residential homes for people. She's a general contractor. She designs, builds your dreams come true right here in Southern California. Should be a very interesting conversation. We also want to thank right out of the gate, our brand new corporate sponsor, automatemysocial.com. You can literally automate 90% of your social media as a business and never have to think about it again. Stop paying thousands of dollars to a social media manager or a big agency when you can absolutely automate your social media with automatemysocial.com. Check it out. I got a video tour there. We use them at David versus Goliath. We use them at Anthem Software, and it's a great, great product. It has made our lives so much easier. It'll make your lives easier as well. So check them out today. And there'll be a little commercial for Automate My Social a little bit later on in the episode. As you know, our website for the podcast is davidvsgoliathpodcast.com. There you can subscribe to receive updates on the podcast and also apply to be on the podcast. Well, with no further ado, we got to get right into it today with Julie Lawton. Julie, welcome to the David versus Goliath podcast.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
And I'm just going to take my glasses off. I was just reading a little bit about
what
you do and your story. And it's so great to have you. You're going to be the first person that I have. I've had architects on the program before. I can't remember her name. Oh my gosh, it just slipped my mind. It'll remember it as we go through the episode. She's fantastic. She was a few weeks back and she's out of Newport Beach.
Oh.
And I'm actually in Newport Beach right now.
You're not. Oh my God.
I'm not in my Florida studio. Yeah, I'm right down the street from you.
Oh my God.
And there's so many gorgeous houses here.
Yes, that's it.
And when I started looking at your website, realizing that you build them, you design them, I mean, that's a fascinating process. So to start off, tell the listeners currently what you're doing right now.
Right now, I'm working on five or six projects, and they're all basically remodels with additions. And basically, I like to restore the beautiful homes that no one wants to tear down because either they're emotional or connected to the family. But why tear it down? It's already there. So I'm working on design, build with homes in Laguna Beach, Balboa Island, Balboa Peninsula. And they're all, you know, under construction with me doing the plans and my team and then standing there in the dirt every day being the contractor because the client with me only deals with one person. So it's the same kind of thing every day. It's like having a bunch of children, but it's a bunch of different projects.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. We have a saying in our business. It's like herding cats.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, you gotta herd the cats all together and keep things moving.
I'm the conductor.
This is your own business.
Yes.
How long have you been doing this for?
I've been doing it for 35 years because when I got out of college, I've done nothing but this. So when I got out of college, I did architecture, landscape architecture, interior design. Finally, got a degree in design, and then after living in New York City, working for the top 10 developers, I was doing all the model homes, working in the dirt with all the construction people in New York. After 10 years of that, I came to California and thought, I need to do residential, and I like to draw, you know, all the architecture and the custom kitchen. So I did that for like 10 years. Then I realized, oh my God, I have to become the contractor because I was used to working with professional contractors. And in residential, it's not so much that way most of the time. So here I am. I became a contractor in early 2000s, and that enabled me to make the job a one-stop shop for the homeowners, especially the women. They're like, oh my God, I can work with a lady the whole time and she can design it, draw it, shop for me, and run the men. You know, I manage men for a living. I mean, you know, it's not as bad as herding cats, but men are easier to work with than sometimes women. I have to say that out loud, but, you know, it's business all day long. It's like, you know, business.
Yeah.
So I did the whole thing for the benefit of the client. Yeah.
That's awesome. You know, I wanted to pick your brain a little bit about your time in Manhattan, you know. Uh-huh. So many people, Julie, you've been doing this and you're very successful in the area. I was actually looking on your website. Mm-hmm. For the watchers and listeners, it's julielawton.com.
Yeah.
We just put it up on the screen so you can see it. And some of the custom homes I was actually looking at, there's one that you did that I thought was fascinating. But before we talk about a specific project, when you were in Manhattan and you were learning from those large companies that you worked for initially, you know, what did you do exactly for them? But more importantly, how did it shape the direction of you going from there to eventually starting your own? Because there's a lot of transition people that watch the David versus Goliath podcast, and they're probably working for someone right now, but in their heart of hearts, when they put their head on the pillow at night, they actually have something that they need to do. How did your transition work? What did you learn in Manhattan? You know, both good and bad. And then how did it lead you to being, you know, I'm going to start my own business?
Okay, I'll tell you exactly. So what I is I'm like an anal retentive little draftsman architect, and I like to draw and design. So to this day, it all starts with a good plan. But my very, very first jobs in New York, my internships were architects, and they sent me in the field because I was the only girl in the office. So instead of the guys, they just laugh, and they send me to do all the dirty work, which is me measuring the 100,000 square foot spaces with the plans, getting the plans right, standing in the dirt, getting whistled at by all the Italian and Irish workers. It was brutal. I mean, it was union. You can't even go anywhere in the construction, but they love me because I'm this girl in the 80s with high heels and a skirt. So I'm in there making things happen, working with the top developers, making them change their building design so the furniture works. It was like I was thrown in by my boss at 24 years old, and they said to me, Julie, you know, you've made it in New York, so if you do it here, you can make it anywhere. But what happened is because I was thrown in young, because my boss wasn't a designer. She needed me to work with them. So I ran this whole team of men and a draftsman and all these guys that would help me do the furniture. So what happened is I moved to California because there was a recession in New York. So I moved to California and I was so proud of my career, but I couldn't find a job because I was overqualified at my age and it freaked me out. So I was forced to get a job in an arena I was not comfortable or knew in. So I got a job selling kitchens on Robertson Boulevard in Beverly Hills. And that led to me selling and designing $1 million of cabinets and kitchens, custom and in everybody's home everywhere. And I got noticed, and that drove me to Newport and Laguna. And then all of a sudden, a few years later, I become the contractor because I can't stand working in residential because without the structure of commercial, because I'm used to very professional, because that's what I learned in New York City. No nonsense. All my business skills came from Manhattan, from the best. So when I was forced out of the nest, the protective nest of getting a job with an architect or getting a job with another developer, I had to start my own business to survive. And it was survival. You know, I was, you know, you have to start.
Yeah. When exactly, what year was that you started your own business? You realized, okay, I'm doing great at selling sinks and designing them.
1991.
So in 1991, think about this, watchers and listeners, she started her own business because she really needed to find a place for herself. And she loved what she was doing. And she said, there's no place for me to go because I'm overqualified at my age. I'm going to start my own. And in 1991, all the way to today, in 2022, here we are. You have a very successful business. How many homes have you, since you started your company, have you custom designed and remodeled?
The total is more than 1,000, even though I only say 500. But if you start from 91 and all those homes I was in LA and Palos Verdes and Malibu, oh my God, I was everywhere. That's 1,000 plus homes of me hand drawing and drafting and working with the homeowner. So it's a lot. It's like a doctor who's delivered 2,000 babies, you know.
You know, that's so funny, man. A doctor, you know, you've delivered baby. I tell people this all the time. Like, when I build software and we install our clients on them, it's like a delivery. You know, it's like you're giving birth to a vision and something that has life behind it. And people who live in their homes, they spend most of their lives there. And so to be able to create an environment for them that's fantastic, it's awesome. Now, how many employees do you currently have? How many people are on your team at this point?
Well, I have employees, I have 12 because there's three in the office and then the rest are in the field as construction. But then I have my draftsman who I, you know, work as a sub, and he has three people. So it's really like, you know, 15 people at my fingertips 24/7 plus my other subcontractors. So that adds up to 50 people. But my immediate staff is 15 because I have three draftsmen and, you know, two secretaries and a guy that runs around and does all the stuff I used to do. So just so you know, all three of those people, the Ashley, Veronica, Roberto, I used to do all that. Mm-hmm. And then I had to graduate to hiring them as you grow. But I remember the day when I actually did everything, just like the thing when you own your own business, you're doing everything. You know, oh my God, I don't know how I did it. But in 2015, I had a big growth from my sales quadrupled in 1 year. So that's when I started to hire more people. It was crazy. So I've always doubled or tripled my business every 5 years. It's kind of funny. So, yeah.
That's awesome. And, you know, people really are the backbone. I talk about the five smooth stones that every business needs to have. And the first one is people. Then you have the right process, the right tools. There's also the right plan. Actually, it starts with plans and goals, the right people, the right technology, the right process, and then courage. With your team, when you hired them, what kind of culture, how important was it for you that you made sure you got the right team members to match your, we're going to get this done, we're going to be professional, we're going to get it done quick, efficiently, and on time. What did you do to find those people, and then how did you train them in what I like to call the Julie Lawton way, so to speak?
Well, you can tell, and all my clients, just so you know that they were trained by me because everyone's like me. They're like me because we do have it's plans, process, procedure, execution. So the thing is, I have a secret system where if they can make it through the first hour of conversation with me, we're good. Meaning we have to match, and I can tell that first of all, people are number one. That's it in life. Number one, relationships. It's number one. You can't have someone you work with that you don't get along with, or they don't follow, or they're not in sync with you, no matter what you're doing, hiring or whatever. So I have a process where I interview them and I see if they like me and they understand that I'm super high energy, super efficient, super fast. I do not like to repeat myself, but on the other hand, I'm an educator, I'm a trainer, I'm a leader, and I'm ridiculously patient because I've literally groomed my people to serve the client 5-star, and that's what we're about. It's about the client and the experience and the trust. So when you see my men, they're dressed clean, their shirts are clean, they're polite, they're courteous. The job site's like nobody else's job site. And then our efficiency on response and email time and the way we handle the client is how I do it. So the thing is, they have to be in sync with me almost immediately. And I can tell by their personality, because a lot of them, my people have come to me. And then they never leave, of course. And then they refer me to people that are like them. So it's kind of fun.
Yeah,
but
that is.
There is an art to it. And I think it comes naturally to me. Yeah.
Yeah, that is absolutely awesome. You know, we're going to take a break here from a corporate sponsor. But when we come back, I want to continue talking about the team building, and I want to talk about marketing in the early days, how you actually got the word out, because marketing has changed dramatically over the last several years. You're with Julie Lawton. You're with your handsome host, Adam DeGrade, from the David versus Goliath podcast. We're learning so much today about how important it is to match the culture that you have as the business owner to the people who serve and love your customers. This is critical. We'll be right back. Here's an important message from automatemysocial.com.
Do you own a business? Do you have or need a social media presence? If you are like most businesses, you spend either no time or too much time and money on your social media strategy. Spending thousands of dollars per month only to get mediocre and inconsistent results. This leads to frustration and, in some cases, sleepless nights. Introducing AutomateMySocial.com. Automate 90% of your social media and never have to think about it again. That's right. Automate your business's social media posting and strategy like forever. Automate the essentials and customize only what's needed. Save time, save money, and get better results with AutomateMySocial.com. Our patent-pending technology gives you the ability to automatically create your social posts and distribute them immediately, like in seconds, across all your social media platforms. Stop the madness of paying someone to create posts and manage your strategy, and let our software do the work, so you don't have to. Oh, and if you're an agency or social media manager, you too can let our software do all the work, and you can get all the credit. It will be our little secret. With AutomateMySocial.com, you can have it all. It's easy to use, never complains, and never ask for time off or more benefits. See this amazing new software application at AutomateMySocial.com. If you own a business or manage client social media and want to save time, energy, money, all while increasing your return on investment, then let's get this party started at AutomateMySocial.com.
With Adam and Julie, the quickest break of all time from Julie's perspective. And Julie, you know, a few things. First of all, a little birdie told me you don't like repeating yourself. Is that true?
Yeah, I have this thing. I think I get it from my family because they're all kind of like, my personality is in my DNA. It's kind of, I don't know if it's, we're like high energy salespeople, but we're full of information and we like to go fast because, you know, knowledge is power, but I don't want to hold someone's hand too much, but I give them the world and I tell them everything and then we coach them along and guide them, you know. So I don't like repeating myself because that might mean someone's not listening.
I'm sorry. Could you repeat yourself? I wasn't listening.
You know,
I'm only kidding. Now, let's talk about marketing in the early days. So when you're basically in back in 1991, you hang the shingle up, you decide I'm going for it. How did you get the word out? What were the forms of marketing that you were involved with then? And how has that morphed since then?
Okay. So it's so funny because back in the old days, I had a business card, but the first few years was 100% word of mouth. And I never thought about the cards or the advertising. And then I started to get busy and I thought I need to get going here. So I ran an ad in the newspaper and I remember, oh my God, I can't afford this. It was like $500 every week. So I remember it was a panic about that cost. But my mom, who is a master at certain things, and she said, remember the ad and the consistency is what's going to pay off. So that first newspaper ad has been in that same paper for 30 years. And I have this huge thing, a following and reputation, you know, that whole thing where I've just seen. But what happened is it used to be 90% referral and 10% advertising and marketing. And now it's the opposite. I mean, I bet it's 1% referral by a human. It's so small. It's all marketing. It's all advertising. It's all internet, social media. It has totally flipped completely. But my awareness of who I am is good.
It's interesting that you say that because, you know, I used my last business. We worked with plastic surgeons and medical spas. And one of the things that you didn't realize is that a lot of their business is referral based. However, the crazy thing, Julie, is that imagine you and I are at a coffee shop and you're looking for a specific procedure and I've had it with a doctor, and I say, this doctor's wonderful, you should try him. Do you know what most people do at that point? They don't go and just go to that doctor. They go online. And they try, and they see the reviews. And if they see a negative review, too many negative ones versus not enough positive ones, who do you think they believe? Their friend or the negative review? Yeah. It was the negative review. And so think about this. You could have a relationship with somebody for 35 years that you're best friends with and trust. But then when they go online, if that digital presence isn't right, it's going to put that red light in their mind and cause them to pause. So I find that to be fascinating. If you own a business, you know, and you say most of my business is word of mouth. Well, let me tell you something. If you don't have a good online presence, that's going to kill you one day because you have to have both, right? You have to be referred and you have to have a good online presence. Yeah. Now walk the listener through the life of a lead. So somebody comes to your website. They see your work. They check your reviews. They either call you or email you. Your team gets that. What happens then?
Okay, so what happens is they either call me or email me, or they go on the website and take the time to fill out one of those forms, and then it goes directly to my guy, Tyler. And so what I do is I send everything to him, because what he does is he qualifies them with a 30-point questionnaire to see if they're used to working with a designer. Have they ever built before? You know, what's their budget? Where's their house? All the good stuff. But we get a little more questions in there so they're qualified, so I can call them next. And then I set up the appointment to go see them, and I meet them in person. Then we get that in-person thing where, you know, you see if you like them, but you also see if they like you, because you got to do that in person. We call that the describe it meeting. Right. Tell me everything. And then they, and then you hope they like you. And then we start a five-step process, baby steps, but it's five steps total to get them to move into the moved-in state.
That, you know, that is a great, well-organized and well-thought-out process. So you can see, folks, Julie has a very specific thing she does because it's probably high-end people she's looking for. Mm-hmm. When a lead comes in, she has somebody who's trained as a professional to qualify that lead to make sure that it's not wasting that lead's time or Julie's time. Mm-hmm. If the lead passes that initial qualification, Julie gets involved, has a conversation. Hopefully they like each other on the phone. She goes out, she meets them. They press the flesh, as they say. And then a proposal, I would imagine, is probably given after that in writing. Mm-hmm. And then after that, the person says, I'm going to hire you. Julie gets a check. Julie gets to work. And then there's five steps to take that person from concept to them walking in with the champagne and the roses.
Exactly.
And I want to see if I can show some of this right now. I'm going to try something I've never tried before in a presentation right now. This is either going to go well or not. So I'm going to try to share my screen. All right, here we go. Mm-hmm. Here we go. I'm sharing my screen. All right, hopefully this is actually recording right now. I think it is. And so if I look at this screen now,
oh yeah, that's
can you see it as well too, Julie?
Uh-huh. Oh, you look at my website. It's so fun.
I want to talk to you about this one right here.
This is
the one I wanted to talk about. So for the watchers and the listeners that are sitting here, I went through this and it says Disney Imagineer Hilltop Estate. And I just started to look at some of the pictures that were here. I mean, magnificent, beautiful internal structures. It's almost like a fairy tale. These are the drawings, I would imagine, of what it's going to be or has been. Tell the listeners and the watchers a little bit about this specific project.
Okay, so first of all, this is Tony Baxter's house. He's designed the Paris Disneyland, and we're working with him right now. And we started with him 5 years ago, and he's never letting us go because we can do what Disney does a little bit better. Because I have the craftsmen, the carsmen, the gilders. We could do anything. And what Tony does is he draws a sketch, and then I take it and go put it to scale, and then we build it. So he can draw like I can draw. But what the difference is between him and me is I take his drawings and I make them to scale and engineer them so they can actually be built. So we added on to the back of his house, and we copied what he did 30 years ago in the Disney studio, because he had the workshop back then he used. But he loves us because we do work a little bit higher end than Disney, because it's residential and you can touch and feel it. But he also taught me some tricks about stone and finishing stone. But We have the carvers, the gilders, the finishers that make everything look 200 or 300 years old. So it is Fantasyland. It is Disney. And he hired us 5 years ago, and we're never leaving his house.
When you go through people's websites and you go through their portfolios, because in so many respects, what I love about you, what you do, Julie, is I have a soft spot. You may or may not know this from watching DVG for creatives. These are artists, either painters or illustrators and fine art, as well as musicians. And I know that you're also a musician as well, too. And what I also think is important for people to realize is that here is a creative, because Julie really is a creative. She's an artist. And she's made this business now that has 15 people plus up to 50 people involved in it. She's, built a multi-million dollar business, had the courage and the bravery to start her own business. And here she is helping dream makers' dreams come true. And I think that is what's so important is when you find your space and you find your place that you're supposed to be in, magic happens. And I just think that is so awesome. So we're going to have to take another break for another sponsor. And when we come back, I do want to talk about the subject of courage and how people can get in touch with you. And then we want to hear some advice that you have for those aspiring entrepreneurs. So, Julie, hang on 1 second. You're with Julie Lawton and Adam DeGrade for the David versus Goliath podcast. You are loving this. You're learning something new every week. We appreciate your time. We'll be right back.
At ISU RMAC Agency, we want to be your one responsible source for all of your insurance needs. From a rocket engineer in California to several hospitals in Illinois, our personal lines team specializes in hard-to-place risks and high-net-worth clientele. With 2 locations and 20-plus agents, we can write in all 50 states to better serve our clients with needs in multiple states. Family-owned and operated since 1962, and 4 generations carrying on the tradition of insurance. Celebrating our 60th year in the industry, we are truly proud of where we have come from and where we are going. With over 300 carriers nationwide, our agency can offer individuals and businesses more choices and better prices. ISU RMAC brings a wide variety of solutions to the table. For more information, visit us online at www.isu-rmac.com.
We're back for our final segment with Julie. Julie, this has been a pleasure. It's been interesting because I'm trying new things on the podcast technologically that are causing computers to crash, which is fun. So if you guys see any like little unsmooth parts, which is unlike the David versus Goliath podcast, it's not Julie's fault. It's not my editor's fault. It's yours truly, the Dingleberry over here's fault. And, Julie, we think about starting a business is not for the faint of heart. It is absolutely for the brave. And one of the things I talk about all the time is courage. And, the reason why I named the podcast David versus Goliath is because whether you're a small company competing in a big space or you're an entrepreneur competing with yourself to actually do it, all of us have a Goliath that needs to be slayed. And in the Bible, the story talks about how we had 5 smooth stones. And I liken that to plans and goals, the right people, the right technology, the right process, and then the courage it takes to do it. And if you read the story, it only took 1 stone to slay that giant, which I think is the most important one, and that is courage. For you, you come out of Manhattan, you're working at these big firms, you could have easily gone to a market that could have taken you in and had that time, but you said, no, I'm going to make my own way, I'm going to start it. What gave you the courage to do that? And what was it like, very specifically, the very first day you put your head on your pillow after starting your first design firm?
Well, the courage comes from, believe it or not, self-confidence and believing in myself and knowing what the heck I'm talking about. Because when I open my mouth to this day, I actually know what I'm talking about because I earned this experience. So even early on, with my natural born talent, I had talent and I had experience. So I put my two feet firmly planted on the ground and stand behind my convictions. No one pushed me around day one because even though I was a woman, I was confident. And I don't know, I think it's because I'm confident in my abilities. But when I first got the design firm started, it was so relaxing and fun and exciting. But on the other hand, you know, I was broke. You know, you have to eat. So it's scary, but it's a good scary because that fear in your belly, that's what keeps me going every morning. I love what I do, but it's the go, 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 go. What's next? Punch list, checklist. So it's a constant burning fuel inside of you. But you have to believe in yourself and don't second guess yourself. And hurdles and obstacles to me are stepping stones to success. You might trip and fall down, but you're always stepping over or around something to get there. And you just stay steadfast. It's fun. You just believe in yourself. Trust me, it's about self-confidence and, believing.
I think it's interesting. You talked about, you know, you put your head on the pillow that night, basically, and you said, I'm excited, but I'm trying to figure out how to eat.
Yeah.
It reminds me of a scene in the movie, What About Bob, where he was trying to get out of his own room. And he was basically going, you know, I'm doing better, but I got to figure out how to get some food because he was so panicked. He didn't even know how to leave his own room. Mm-hmm. And I think you made a really good point. If you've God's given you talents and gifts, and if there's something that's inside you that just keeps tapping on you saying, there's more for you. Don't ignore that voice. That voice, I believe, is God speaking to you saying, you could do this. You got this. Just go for it. And there's no easy way into the Pacific Ocean. If you try to toe dip your way into the beaches over here, you're never going in the water. If I'm going to go on the water here in the Pacific Coast, the shirt's ripping and I'm running in and diving in and not giving myself a chance to turn back. I find that the toe dippers are the ones who don't stay in the water. Those who jump in without toe dipping have a tendency to swim around for quite some time.
Yes.
And it is exactly like that in business.
Yes.
Now, we should call this episode, TJ, the toe dipper. I know that's going to be on that actual clip right there that I just did. And this is all part of the podcast as well, too. I guarantee that my opening next week, 2 weeks from now, is going to be the toe dipper. It's going to be funny. So anyway, I do want to ask you one final question. You know, there's somebody out there right now that's listening to us that has a business that's struggling, or they're thinking about starting their own business. What advice do you have for them?
Well, you're struggling, you got to fine tune and cut back and stay focused on what do you do best. Get rid of the overhead you don't need. Don't go too fast. You got to build. But really laser focus on what do I do best, what makes my clients happy, and then just build slowly because some people get ahead of themselves and they get too much going on and you can't cover yourself financially. So it's just really getting laser focused on and then making your list and build, build, build. But for me, I have talent and I know what people like and I know how people want to be treated. So that's how I started. It's about servicing the clients. We're in a service business. And they can't do what I do. So I give them what I can do. And, you know, and being happy and taking care of yourself and being happy and positive. Don't do things to destroy yourself physically and mentally. Just stay healthy.
That's good advice from Julie Lawton. Don't do anything to destroy yourself physically, mentally, or spiritually. Otherwise, you've destroyed yourself.
Yeah.
So great advice, Julie. Julie, have you had fun being on the David versus Goliath podcast today?
This is my favorite podcast of all time. We have to do this again. You're amazing. We match in personality. How's that?
Good answer. Anyway, it's been great having you. Thank you so much. I'm gonna wrap it up now. So think about it, folks. What we talked about today, you learned about residential design and delivering of dreams from a girl in New York who was training under a bunch of men, and she learned all these skills, moves to California, is overqualified, finds a temporary job, but continues to design and says, you know what? I don't know how to eat, but I'm going to make it happen. And so if you think about it, from New York City all the way to Laguna Beach and all the experiences in between, we all have the ability to grow in our business and in our personal lives. And thank you so much for tuning in to the David versus Goliath podcast. I'm your host, Adam DeGrade. That was Julie Lawton. You guys have an amazing day. I'll see you next week.
Anthem Business Software System is designed to specifically help small businesses just like yours find, serve, and keep more customers profitably. We do this by providing you with the most powerful software, automations, and marketing services to help your business compete and win in this ever-changing digital world. Take a short video tour at anthemsoftware.com.